That is such a good point because I feel like the enormity of that problem would kind of get to me too. Just seeing all the just the mass of humanity. You know, I'm sure there are a lot of people down there who are coming across the border with nefarious purposes. I'm sure there are people who are coming across the border looking, quote unquote, for a better life. But this is a full-blown humanitarian crisis. And I don't think Americans fully appreciate what's being done to this country. I imagine you kind of feel the same way.
I do. Having fought this battle largely at my own expense for 2 decades now, I personally do not care why people are coming over our borders illegally. All of us are looking for a better life. I've never met anybody who's not looking for a better life, so that does not wash with me. If you want to shorten that, they're looking to make more money and get more goodies. People who are coming over here who are in the country now who hate us and will eventually, I believe this, will eventually do us harm. There is no good reason to allow anybody to come into the United States illegally. There's no universal civil right to live and work and collect welfare in the United States of America. And this, I know a lot of people say, well, DA, this will stop when Biden is out. Well, I don't know if when Biden's going to go out, but that's not the point. They don't understand what's happening here. These people are, the Democrats are refilling their congressional districts. They are importing future voters. If there's no amnesty to make these people who are here illegally, millions and millions of them, if there isn't an amnesty, if we're able to defeat that again, even in 18 years from now, you're going to have millions of quote unquote, I don't, you can call them anchor babies, but you're going to have millions of 18-year-old voters who I swear are not going to vote for low tax, pro borders, pro enforcement Republican candidates. It's just not going to happen. So this is a lot more serious than people know. If I may, I have been doing this on the state level at my own expense for 20 years. And I run something called the Dustin Inman Society, which is named after a young man who was killed by somebody who was allowed to come over our border illegally and then given jobs, benefits, and services. It's national suicide.
So you hit on a couple of good points there that I want to get into. First and foremost, I understand why Democrats are doing this because they're, as you just said, they're importing voters. They are trying to dilute the political influence of people who care about this country. And by the way, let's get this out of the way right at the top here. So you've dedicated your professional career to this issue, DA. So that means that you're a rabid racist, right? You're against anyone who does not look like you. You're a white nationalist. You're probably an insurrectionist and all that stuff. That's accurate, right?
Well, that would be the description that you would get from people like the Georgia Association of Latino Elected Officials. That's a description you will probably get from in public from the Southern Poverty Law Center. No, I'm a regular guy. I'm a former Marine. I'm sitting in the only house in Marietta, Georgia that my wife and I have ever owned. May will be 41 years that we have lived here. I'm just somebody who decided that it was more important to stop illegal immigration than it was to continue on with my very successful insurance business. And I've spent all of my money to prove it.
So you're just a regular guy who cares about his country? This is unprecedented. I don't know.
Well, it's not as precedented as it should be. There's a group of folks a long time ago who decided that they wanted to quit their jobs and risk their being.
So Democrats, they're bringing voters in here. Why are Republicans support? I mean, do they not understand that, as you just laid out, they're committing political suicide in 10 or 15 years? There is probably, if left unchecked, these voting patterns are going to mean the end of a Republican party, or at least a true Republican party. I'm sure there are going to be Republicans in name only. They're going to be around. But what are these folks thinking? What does your work reveal to you on that?
Let me answer that question with a statement. I am a political independent. I am a pro-enforcement conservative, and I am not a Republican. A lot of my friends are.
Fair
To
enough.
answer your question, why are the Republicans doing this? They're doing it for the money. Why are people coming over our border illegally? They're coming over for the money. Why are the Democrats doing this? They're doing it for the money, and they're getting the votes to stay in power. But the shorter version is the Republicans recognize that in most of the country, that it's the special interest in the business who really are the donor class, and they're giving the orders. The Republicans are scoring as much quote unquote cheap labor as possible. And an endless supply of labor is the deal. And they will certainly do this long enough so that they can buy the rope that will eventually hang themselves. And we don't have to continue this conversation on that very very long, because if people doubt that, I would urge them to take a trip to California, which at one time was a Republican state. And shorter, here where I live in the metro Atlanta area of Georgia, we have a county called Gwinnett County. 20 years ago was a bright, ruby, red, Republican, conservative stronghold, which is now a Democrat-run county through and through. I think they got one Republican back in office last year. But the sheriff, the county commission, the state reps, for the most part, it went Democrat. And in the 2020 election, the what I call the illegal alien lobby, the corporate-funded illegal alien lobby, boasted as loudly as they could, and the media helped them, that this was done, in their words, through the children of immigrants. And anybody who studied illegal immigration for 10 minutes knows that the far left labels everybody who is here who's not a citizen is somehow an immigrant, whether or not they came legally over our border or didn't overstay a visa. So short answer, the Democrats want the vote and the money, and the Republicans want the money and the power. It's not a lot of difference in reasoning there.
No, there really isn't. Let's talk about a couple of the famous canards that we hear all the time from the pro-immigration side. For example, we are told that the birth rate in the United States is so low. We need all of these people coming in from all these countries all over the world because, you know, the country's not going to sustain itself. And by the way, we've all come from somewhere, which is actually another point that I want to make here. We all have ties to old countries. That's not what this is about. We'll talk about that more in a second. But the birth rate issue, how do you respond to that?
I would send people to my friends at the Center for Immigration Studies that Mark Krikorian runs in Washington. Dr. Steve Camerata is a dear friend of mine. You can get enough information from them that is extrapolated from federal statistics on birth. We are not going to solve a contrived birthright problem or decrease the median age of America by constantly importing illegal immigration. It's just not going to happen. I don't subscribe to the fact that we need more people. We're taking in 1 million legal immigrants a year and another 1 million guest workers. We don't have a process in place to make sure that the temporary visa holders leave. One more time, this is national suicide. I want to spend, if we may, a little bit of time, because this conversation is important, but what we've been doing here for the last 20 years is fighting amnesty on a national level, but we are involved in state-level politics.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republicans took this state over 21 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started going down to the Georgia State Capitol, we were able to get a lot of state laws put in place that would deny jobs, benefits, and services to illegal aliens. And each and every year that we did that, there would be these big TV news interviews with the far left saying, oh, this is horrible because all of the immigrants are leaving Georgia because of this cruel, cruel treatment. But what was happening is people in the country illegally were going on TV news shows and saying, I can't get a job. I can't get a driver's license. I'm going back to Mexico. And we have actual videos of that. multiple times. So what we have proven is something that I hope people take away from this interview, and that is the fact that enforcement works. And we've been proving that here in Georgia over and over and over. Now, we're in a drought now. We have a governor here named Brian Kemp, who was elected on the promise to attack, not giving jobs away to illegal aliens, not giving benefits away to illegal aliens, but at least he said he was going to go after the criminal illegals. And in his 2018 primary, now Governor Brian Kemp made a series of very detailed promises, none of which he has not only not kept, but he has not mentioned. And what's happening right now in Georgia is there's only six states in this country with more illegal aliens than we have. And we are, as taxpayers here in Georgia, we are paying for programs that are unbelievable. And the media covers it up. So this conversation is me telling your viewers that here in Georgia, we have discovered the issue for which far left or liberal news outlets will cover up for an otherwise conservative Republican governor. And that issue is illegal immigration.
That's absolutely fascinating. And it's one of the reasons why I really wanted to have you on, because you concentrate on the insidious side of this, right? Which is these incentives, these perverse incentives that are put in place that not just allow corporations and local governments to allow illegal immigration, but they incentivize it. So they go out and people are actually making money off of this. Can you walk us through some of those?
I will. I wish the list wasn't so long, so I won't do all of them. But here's an example. I go to the Georgia State Capitol and I educate legislators. At one time, I was a registered lobbyist. I write newspaper columns. I have two websites where I research this stuff. I dig out the facts on legislation. I will even quote line numbers. Mm-hmm. And here's an example. We have an annual battle, and I mean it, an annual battle in a Republican-controlled state. Every constitutional office here in Georgia is run by Republicans.
Mm.
We have an annual battle to make sure that people in the country illegally do not get the greatly reduced rate to go to our public colleges of in-state tuition. We are one of the few states now that doesn't give illegal aliens in-state tuition. So my idea is that I don't want to give anything to anybody here illegally that is not already mandated by the federal government. If we have to, we have to. Other than that, I fight it. But also, I can't understand why a lot of Republicans and all Democrats are quite willing to give somebody in the country illegally who lives here in Georgia a benefit for which an American who would come to Georgia to go to school from, say, Michigan cannot obtain. It's amazing to me that they will openly give benefits to illegal aliens that they won't give to Americans. So in-state tuition, we've been able to stop those bills every year. So having won that battle over and over and over again, and then we expect to fight it again this year, I've done some research on a four-year-old program called dual enrollment. And dual enrollment, I now learn, is in most, if not all, of the other states in the country. And I urge people to check it out in their own home state. Dual enrollment is a program by which the state of Georgia is paying 100% of the tuition for high school students, junior and senior years, to go to our public colleges, up to 30 credit hours per semester, and get a college, at least a huge jump on a college education. There is no tuition charge. We are putting illegal aliens in high school, in our college seats, at no expense to them, and we're paying for their books and fees. There is no exclusion in the Georgia dual enrollment program that excludes illegal aliens from 100% paid tuition, books and fees to go to our public colleges while they're still in high school. It is bizarre. And I brought it up into the legislature and put columns around our state. And it could be that we see a bill this year to change that. I look forward to that because now that it's out in the open, I want to see the Republicans in an election year say, no, we don't even want to have a hearing on that. Or if we have a hearing, we don't want to vote on it. Or if we vote on it, I'm going to vote no. I don't see that happening. So I'll be curious to see if we get a hearing or a bill on that. In-state tuition, the dual enrollment program. There's a program here in Georgia. Again, all of this is under the wire. I have to dig and do research. There's something called the Registered Apprenticeship Program. This is a beaut. Through the Georgia-sponsored Registered Apprenticeship Program, an employer can take an employee, send him through the Georgia Technical College Systems Program for the apprentice, paid for by the taxpayer, to be trained to be more skilled at his job, which will obviously make the employer more profitable. So they're going to what they call upskill an existing employee sent to the technical college system by an employer. And then when that is complete, the employer can be paid up to $50,000. Now, I'm not making this up. And this is not something you find on the front page of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. So I dig through here and I ask questions and I send open records requests. And you can, when you've done this as long as I have, you can smell when something's wrong. But when you start not getting an open records request, a content response from the Georgia Student Finance Commission, you know something's up. Well, sure enough, there is. I'm not making this up. There is no exclusion in this program for either illegal alien employers or employees. So let me shorten this up. Here in Georgia, through the Registered Apprenticeship Program, an illegal alien employer can send an illegal alien employee to the Georgia Technical College System to be upskilled and possibly be paid $50,000. The cherry on top of that sundae is the fact that I am told that they already have H-1B workers in the program. All of this is done in the name of workforce expansion, as is the dual enrollment program that I mentioned earlier. Guess what? Illegal aliens are not eligible to work any place in this country legally.
Right.
It, this is what's happened when the Republicans here in Georgia have had power here for 20 years.
Tell us about, you alluded to this a moment ago, the practical effect, the real world effect on the ground, where the rubber meets the road, when programs like this, perverse incentives like this, are stricken from the public record. You said a moment ago that it works. Tell us about that.
I'm sorry, what, I didn't understand the question.
When programs like this and incentives like this are done away with, that illegal immigrants actually find another place to go.
Okay. When we put laws in place, for example, we put in an E-Verify law
Yes.
in 2006. It was one of 21 sections of a very massive bill. At the time, it was the strongest comprehensive illegal immigration bill in the country. We did it before Arizona did. The president of Mexico was in the news here back then complaining that we were anti-immigrant and anti-Mexican for saying we wanted to use an E-Verify program, which for your viewers who don't know, simply is it's a federal program that verifies the work eligibility of newly hired employees within 3 days of their hire. But when we put all these laws in place then and after that, you would see, as I said earlier, you would see the corporate-funded far-left illegal alien lobby going on the news saying all the immigrants are leaving. And they were. There was this news piece one time about a large group, 30 or 40 people standing outside a bus station before dawn trying to catch the next bus out of town. Some of them said they were going back to their home countries. Many of them said they were going to different states. Another example of enforcement works is last year, Florida passed what they are calling a very strong illegal immigration law, which has an E-Verify component in it. Well, now we're hearing stories, and including in the news where they're verified in Florida, of illegal aliens leaving Florida because they are terrified that the law will actually be enforced. Well, many of them are coming back to Georgia.
So if you turn off the magnet, people stop coming to your state illegally.
They will for a while. The word, the grapevine in the illegal immigration world is terrific. A lot of otherwise uneducated people from the third world know a lot more about our immigration law, and especially in current events, than most Americans do. Most Americans don't know we take in 1 million legal immigrants a year.
Right.
But they will stop for a while. And then they sit back, and we have done these laws every couple of years for a very long time here. Now, that stopped when Brian Kemp became governor. But each and every time we would pass a law, we'd go through the same process. The leftist media would come out with stories about how unfair it was to immigrants, and immigrants are having to leave, and we're breaking up families, but they would leave. And then when they realized the law wasn't actually being enforced, which is the case with much of our E-Verify law, they would come back one more time. Georgia now has somewhere between 350,000 and 500,000 illegal aliens. The highest official estimate I have seen is from 2016, which is 400,000. But the short version of this is just a lesson I'm trying to provide, that enforcement works. And if people don't pay attention, I promise that most politicians, city, county, or state, especially in Washington, are not going to do everything that should be done to discourage and deter the organized crime that is illegal immigration into this country.
I started off by asking you why it is you think that more people are not aware of the work that you're doing. You had some thoughts on that.
I do. It was a lesson learned. When I first started, I was heavily covered by the local media, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. And let me say, restate that. The liberal Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Right. And here in the metro Atlanta area, we have multiple large audience TV stations. And we were covered. We would have rallies, and the original hope was to paint us as a bunch of redneck haters. We're not.
Mm-hmm.
The immigrants that are on our board will vouch for that. But what happened over the course of time?
Wait a second. You have immigrants on your board.
We do, of all color varieties. But a lot of people, even here in Georgia now, after being in the news for a decade, the news media realize that there's really only one guy. And I'm not trying to blow my own horn. If I had to do over again, I'm not sure that I would. But the news media en masse realize that if there's only one person doing this who really is knowledgeable of what's going on in the Capitol, who actually knows immigration law and helped draft it here on the state level, if he's not in the news, then we don't have to do a pro-enforcement side. We can continually hammer on how unfair it is to quote-unquote immigrants, that there's people who want to enforce our immigration laws. And we can hide the fact, even if they're Republicans, that the Republican state legislature and the governor in charge of passing the laws created by the legislature are not doing their job. It is a mess here in Georgia, and I'm struggling to get some national attention to reflect on Georgia, but it's difficult to blame reporters covering things that's going on in the Biden administration now for not covering what's going on in the Brian Kemp administration in Georgia. So this interview is a godsend for us if anybody realizes what is happening to us here. I'm very grateful for the time. We need help here, but the country as a whole, as far as issues goes, you know, we're kind of further down the line.
Well, this is Exhibit A. I often say that, you know, there's an old expression that one person can't make a difference. It's often one person that makes all the difference. And again, it's not about blowing smoke, but this is the difference that one person can make. Now, imagine if hundreds and thousands of people get involved, you know, there'd be no stopping people who truly care about this country. How do you answer people who say, well, we need illegal immigrants because Americans won't do the type of work that they do? They won't pick the vegetables. They won't do maintenance jobs. They won't do yard work, et cetera, et cetera. What's your answer to that?
I am a working class, northern, middle America, suburban Detroit kid. I'm now 71, but I dare people who say that to go, for example, to the Green Lantern Lounge on a corner of 12 Mile and John R. in Madison Heights, Michigan, and walk in and tell the working class people in there that there's jobs Americans will not do. These are union people who have managed to get a living wage out of the blue collar jobs that they do. I am 71 years old, but if you'll pay me $65 an hour, I will go down to the onion fields in South Georgia and pick onions. But they're not going to pay $65 an hour. They're going to pay somewhere around $15 to $20 an hour, is how it works out. My point is, there's no jobs that Americans will not do, but there are certainly wages for which Americans will not work. We are importing artificially cheap labor who eventually turn into a political constituency. And that is what people have to remember. When I told you earlier that a dual enrollment program is run, it's run in the name of workforce expansion. You can do anything in this state if you just label it workforce expansion, because the Chamber of Commerce runs the government. Well, how do you qualify, if people think it through, which they won't because they don't get the media coverage, how do you sustain that argument that we're expanding our workforce by educating at the taxpayer expense illegal aliens? You're not going to legally employ someone that you've run through this apprenticeship program, who is an illegal alien. It is madness. I want to make sure I don't forget something.
Sure.
School choice.
Yes.
School choice is a giant issue nationwide.
Yes.
We've had a school choice battle going on in this state for 3 years, and I didn't think it was my issue. I didn't pay attention to it very much until I found out that school choice does not, or did not, until we got involved, did not exclude illegal alien students. The school choice bill here that was been considered for the last 3 years will pay taxpayer dollars to put students in private school. Now, the Plyler v. Doe Supreme Court decision of 1982 says that we as taxpayers are required to pay for a K through 12 public school education, regardless of immigration status. Now, people can argue whether or not they think that is right or fair, but it is. But there is nothing in the Plyler v. Doe decision that requires us to provide a private school education to people in the country illegally. If you want to create a magnet, I say, put out an ad that says, we're going to send your kid to private school if you come to Georgia. And it works. I'm very proud to say, having brought that up, that because of our pressure, a direct result of our pressure, the bill that's pending now excludes illegal alien students. They did it very cryptically because they didn't want to make a big deal of it, but they did it. Now we're working on excluding illegal alien parents, because in the text of the law, they have multiple entries where the parents, who are described as guardians or anyone with official with legal authority over the student, doesn't have to be a biological parent, would be on a parental oversight committee to decide what expenses are eligible for school choice program. It's crazy. And what you get if you allow the media to skip over the illegal immigration issue for so many years is we now have pretty honest legislators in our capital. Some of them don't even think about this anymore. Oh, yeah, we're going to do dual enrollment and school choice. I said, what are you going to do to exclude illegal aliens? Oh, we didn't think of that. So I urge people, no matter where they live, to watch what goes on in your own state, to make sure that everything that can be done is being done to make your state as inhospitable as possible to illegal immigration. And if people don't think this is organized crime, I'll be glad to do another show dedicated to only that point.
It's a date. I what's maddening about this is that it'd be one thing if every American got this treatment and some people wanted to extend it to illegal immigrants. Okay, I still wouldn't agree with that, but you might want to understand it. But there's treatment here being offered to illegal immigrants that is not offered to Americans. And I am struggling to find a good reason for that. There just isn't one, I don't think.
Well, it's expedient. A lot of people don't want to get in the battle and be called a bunch of names.
Right.
A lot of legislators would rather never talk about illegal immigration than take a chance of somebody in their district saying, you hate immigrants, or
Right.
you're somehow a hater, or you go by skin color. And that is an intentional, well-kept tool. It's a weapon that is out there, and people know it's out there. Life is too short. Most people don't want to take the chance on being called names. On the other hand, there's too many people who will watch their country disappear into nothingness instead of being called a racist.
Before we let you go, speaking of being called names, tell us about the beef that you have with the, or I should say that the Southern Poverty Law Center has with you, because whenever they have a beef with someone, that tells me that that person is speaking the truth.
Thank you. I agree with you. As short as I can, because we were very successful in drafting and getting, state legislation passed over the course of at least for the last two decades, the Southern Poverty Law Center took notice of us and labeled us as nativist extremists. And they did a sneak interview with me. They called me and did an interview and never identified themselves. This was a long time ago. In 2011, we got a very big bill passed.
Talk
here.
About ethical.
This is a whole separate show. But in 2011, we got a very big bill passed here, 22 sections, I can't remember. But the Southern Poverty Law Center told the Associated Press, when the AP ran a profile on me, the Southern Poverty Law Center said that they're not a hate group. He's doing everything. He's not doing anything that we regard as being a hate group. Mm-hmm. He's getting his legislation passed and he's fighting the political battle, which is not something that we can complain about, even if we don't like it. Now, I paraphrase there, but it's very, very close to what they said.
Mm.
So we were more and more successful. Well, in 2018, in the spring of 2018, when the Southern Poverty Law Center put out their 2017 hate map, when you talk about the SPLC, you have to like use all these terms with a grain of salt because it becomes too absurd to really take seriously.
No, it
but
really
they
does.
publish a hate map every spring, and lo and behold, now the Dustin Inman Society, or not, the way they did it is D.A. King runs the Dustin Inman Society, which is an anti-immigrant hate group that denigrates all immigrants. Meantime, in the interview they had done several years before, I had explained to them, we don't hate anybody. And by the way, my adopted sister is an immigrant from Korea.
Oh.
Now, so
what do you know?
I write a lot. And I'm in the newspaper, at least for letters to the editor now. They put allowing me to have columns in the liberal Atlanta Journal-Constitution. But gathering evidence for this is really not difficult, where you can point to all of these easily read, some of them pertaining directly to the SPLC, letters to the editor explaining that we are not anti-immigrant, we are not anti-immigration, we are pro-enforcement. My adopted sister is an immigrant from Korea. We have immigrants on our board, yada, yada, yada. But the SPLC is now falling back saying, well, we're not going to retract what we said about you being an anti-immigrant hate group that denigrates all immigrants, because now we're saying this is only our opinion. Now, that being said, we have a lawsuit pending, and what I have just delivered is pretty much all the lawyers will let me say about that lawsuit. I'm instructed not to discuss it much. I would advise people to go in on the Daily Signal. A very nice writer at the Heritage Foundation, Tyler O'Neill, has written a book on the SPLC. He has written extensively about our lawsuit. But we do have a defamation case pending against the Southern Poverty Law Center. And we are going to point out to a jury, given that opportunity, that the Southern Poverty Law Center has changed their mind that we're not a hate group to we are a hate group within days of beginning within days of registering to lobby against legislation that we draft and support here in Georgia in the state legislature. People can take it from there.
So a shorter position of the Southern Poverty Law Center is we have the story straight, DA, don't bother us with the facts. Before we let you go, tell the folks where they can track you down, where they can keep up with your work, and where they can support.
I appreciate that, and I am extremely grateful for this time. I want to compliment you. You have people on like my friend Todd Bensman, who goes to the border for the Center for Migration Studies. This is good company. Thank you very much.
It is my honor,
with
sir.
With the information that Todd gives you in mind, if people can understand that right now there's Border Patrol agents risking their lives on the border. There are people, millions of people coming over our border illegally. 300,000 of them last month in December alone. More than 300,000 illegal aliens were released into this country. Now, I'll be surprised if they ever leave. I'm going to vote for Trump to see if he can do anything. But I say that in context of we do this on donations and we need help. So if people want to see and read more about what we've talked about, the issue-oriented news and opinion website is immigrationpoliticsga.com. Immigrationpoliticsga.com. That's Immigration Politics Georgia, obviously. And the Dustin Inman Society website is now, we had to come up with a new website, so I named it the New Dustin Inman Society.org. New Dustin Inman Society.org. If people can't remember that, they can easily Google D.A. King SPLC and you can find out all about it.
That'll bring up all the information people need to know. I'll put links to these websites in the show notes. Thank you, sir, for coming by and spending this time with us. And more importantly, thank you for doing this.
Well, it is my pleasure. I'm grateful for the time, and you do terrific work. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.